Thanks for listening to the podcast from Faith Radio Mornings.
Start your day connecting faith to life with Faith Radio Mornings.
Let it rise.
Good morning, everyone. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Welcome to your Monday. It is May 22, and the sun is shining, so I feel encouraged and optimistic. So as you are getting ready to enjoy a little bit of nourishment this morning, sustenance, as they say, getting ready to go equip your body to have the calories it needs to go be productive today. I do want to remind you, I read a story over the weekend that said, if you want to be healthier, eat your trash. And this was kind of a sobering comment. In 2012, the amount of food Americans discarded was enough to provide 2,000 calories a day to 84% of the country's adult population. And this is at the same time, 15.9% of Americans struggled to buy food at times, and that was from the Department of Agriculture. Apparently, we are throwing away a lot of food, and then inside our garbage is a lot of nutrients get thrown away as well. And most of the time, food gets discarded because it just doesn't look pretty. It might just be kind of a blemished piece of fruit or vegetable that has no real harm to it. It could be bruised or maybe a little misshapen or discolored, and then they don't sell it. So a lot of things get thrown away. And so they're trying to figure out a way to take that food and put it to better use, like inside people's stomachs. I think even there's a Craigslist-style website for food waste at the end of the business day. I think some businesses and supermarkets and restaurants are trying to post the types of edible foods that have been left over, but they can't sell. And then food pantries and soup kitchens and everyone else is trying to see what's available so they can pick it up and get people the food and they can eat this food. And, you know, one of the things that really suffers is fiber, that we're not getting enough dietary fiber. And some of the foods, the important foods, they're relatively low in calories, but looking at like vitamin D or fiber really help get a picture of the foods that we need to consume more of. And they're going right into the landfill. So there you go. Keep that in mind. I know most of us are trying to be very careful with not wasting food. I know I don't like wasting food. I'm being very careful about that. So anyway, welcome to the show. We got a great second hour coming up. Got a nice call or a nice letter from a listener this morning. It was just concerned about the comment that was made earlier about the kids that walked out on Mike Pence's speech. And the question was raised, if the kids were walking out on President Obama, would I be saying that's a great example of freedom of expression? And I would certainly say no. I would say the same thing. I would say that if the kids are walking out on any commencement speaker, I would find that probably not a good idea. It doesn't matter who it is. And I'm very apolitical myself. So I just love presenting the stories and the news and talking about it. And anyone is always welcome to give me a call and have a conversation with us about anything that's discussed on the air. And you can do that at 1-877-933-2484. Be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 8 minutes after. Hope your day is starting well. Steve Johnson is my studio guest. He has a Reach Beyond Ministries. He's president of Alliance for the Unreached, director of special projects for the Reach Beyond. And there's a big International Day of the Unreached coming up in June. And I'm anxious to hear about that some more. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be with you.
I love Reach Beyond Ministries. Let's go after the unreached. There's still 28% of the world's population have never heard the name of Jesus. So who are these unreached?
You know, it's amazing that in today's world of mass communication and rapid transit and instant everything, that there's still 2.5 billion people who have yet to hear the gospel. And, you know, it's interesting. The face of missions has really changed over the last 100 or 200 years, where, you know, in the great missions movement of the 1800s and early 1900s, it was about trying to get to places where the gospel hadn't yet penetrated. But in today's world, it really is a very different challenge. Today, it's really about going to places that in many cases are resistant to the gospel, or the gospel hasn't penetrated because of social and religious issues far more than the challenges of getting to them.
Mm-hmm.
So today we have to think much more creatively.
You know, Steve, often in conversations over the many years, I've had discussions with people about Christianity, and they would say, they always want to pull out this card saying, well, what about the pygmies in Africa? You know, they always want to try to get you in that gotcha moment, like, well, if God was, you know, really for everybody, what about those people? And, you know, I've often thought of Titus chapter 2 in verse, 11. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. So I sometimes think God certainly has a way of showing himself to everyone. Yet the whole idea that we're supposed to go out and spread the gospel to all mankind, we've got marching orders as well, don't we?
I don't think there's any question about it. We don't know the limits of God's grace. But at the same time, I find it really interesting that in Matthew 28 and in Acts 1, the two last conversations that Jesus had on earth had to do with reaching those who had never heard him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're all familiar with the Great Commission where he says, I want you to go. And I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. And the word for nations is ethne. What he's saying is, I want you to go and make disciples of all people, including pygmies in Africa and people in the Amazon River valleys and everywhere. And then in Acts 1:8, he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. We have marching orders. And when it comes to spreading the gospel, that was the responsibility that Jesus left with us as his parting words. And I think, you know, when somebody leaves you with their parting words, you typically pay attention because that's what's closest to their heart.
Yeah. Steve, when Jesus says, go and make disciples, let's talk about disciple making. How do you define that?
Yeah, that's a great question because I think in today's world, especially kind of in North American or Western belief, we think that going and sharing Christ with the world means bringing converts to Christ and kind of checking that off the list and then moving on and then being thankful that there are people who trusted Christ. And that's a great thing. But I think what Jesus is really telling us to do is to go much deeper. And he's telling us that we need to invest in the lives of those who need him. And that doesn't just mean sharing the gospel, hearing a prayer of faith or a confession, and then moving on. It means investing in helping that church be sustainable and growing and self-perpetuating. And that's one of the reasons that we at Day for the Unreached are really committed to the idea of growing Christian populations in unreached people groups beyond 2 or 3%, because that's when a church can become self-sustaining and they can build their own churches and they can disciple their own people.
Mm, I love your answer. I would like to send you a prize for that answer because I think that's exactly it. I'll get a coffee mug or something from my cupboard and send it to you.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it'll be used. But anyway, it is important. You know, it's different from just handing someone a track. It's always good to reach out to people. It's always good to, you know, give them a chance to get acquainted with the gospel. But we do have to get our hands dirty, and discipling is hard work.
Right.
It's hard work.
That's exactly right. You know, everybody comes to Christ. I don't care what your background is. Everybody that comes to Christ with baggage. And we come to Christ with sin. We come to Christ with political views. We come to Christ with religious backgrounds. We come to Christ with our own baggage. And the whole hope of the gospel isn't just that we trust in the name of Jesus, but that we enter into a deep, intimate relationship with him in which he transforms us from the inside out. And that's the purpose of disciple-making. That's the purpose behind the ministry of Reach Beyond and the ultimate goal of International Day for the Unreached.
Mm-hmm. Steve, I had last week Jay Warner Wallace on the program, and he was talking about it in his new book, Forensic Faith. He was saying there's a difference between accidental belief in Christ and evidential belief in Christ, where you have examined the evidence and you know why you believe because you have studied. And I think, well, that's what we have to do, is take this studying, this evidence, and we have to share it with the lost and then grow them up in the Word and disciple them and make them fully functioning and followers of Christ.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It is ultimately not about a verbal profession, but about an intimate relationship. And I think the scripture makes it very clear that when we enter into that relationship with Christ, that Christ is the one who begins to change all of that stuff from the sin and the background and the baggage that we have. And of course, when we talk about international missions, we talk about reaching those who have never heard the gospel. Some of the situations are completely, no pun intended, foreign to us. So if you go into a tribe in Africa, for instance, where the chief is required to have multiple wives, and he comes to Christ and says, what should I do because I now have 9 wives, and the scripture commands that I would have 1 wife and love her, you know, it raises some of these very complicated issues that are sometimes hard to untangle. And yet the scripture is true that what we're to do is to present the gospel in its grace and in its truth, and then trust that the Holy Spirit is going to be moving on those people to move them into deeper understanding and deeper relationship.
Yeah. Steve, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the International Day of the Unreached coming up June 4th and what we can do, how we can prepare, how we can participate, how we can pray. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's 18 minutes after the hour. I have Steve Johnson on the studio line from Reach Beyond Ministries. He's the president of the Alliance for the Unreached, and that's a big subject because there are roughly 2 billion people that have never heard the name of Jesus, which is, I think, Steve, we've agreed, is hard to believe and understand in this day of the internet and everything else that we could have available access to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it is hard to believe that there are 2.5 billion people in today's world. That represents about 1,900 people groups that have very little, if any, access to the gospel. The people groups from millions of speakers down to tribal and indigenous peoples who don't even have scripture in their language yet.
Mm-hmm. And there's, you think about it, roughly 70,000 people a day are heading to eternity. And many of them, if they have not heard the word of God, would be going to a Christless eternity.
Yeah, perhaps. Exactly right about.
Yeah.
Yeah. About half the people, about 150,000 people die a day, and roughly half of those, percentage-wise, come from parts of the world where the gospel has not yet made penetration.
Yeah, and of course, God will judge them according to how they've responded in their heart, given what they've known, perhaps.
That's right.
I'm struggling here a little bit. Help me out, Steve.
Well, I tell you what, we can get into the challenges and the theology of God's grace. And, mm-hmm. and one thing I'm so thankful for is that the scripture tells us that the grace of God is boundless. But like you said earlier, we've been given marching orders. We've been given a responsibility to make sure that we fulfill the Christ-given mandate to share his love and to share his truth with the entire world. In fact, in Matthew 24, Jesus says, it's when the gospel is preached to the whole world, to every ethne, that the end will come. And so we clearly have a role to play that Christ has given us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And that really is the philosophy and the ideology behind the idea of the International Day for the Unreached.
Now let's talk about that. It's coming up June 4th. And talk about that. I'd like to know.
Yeah, we are thrilled to death. There really is the beginning of a grassroots movement developing around the country. And this celebration, this recognition of the International Day for the Unreached started about 3 years ago. And every year it just seems to be growing as more and more people are realizing, you know, for whatever reason, many churches and many believers in North America have forgotten about the unreached, or in many cases it's been marginalized. And whether that's because of apathy or lack of understanding of the issue, or in some cases just disdain for evil people, we don't really know. But ultimately, what we're trying to accomplish at International Day for the Unreached is to reawaken that passion and to make people aware of the fact that there are those who have never heard the name of Jesus. And we have this incredible privilege. We have access to the Word of God, to Christian radio, to Christian television, to wonderful churches, all of these things that sometimes we can take for granted. And the purpose of International Day for the Unreached is to help people become more aware of the plight of those who have never had that opportunity. So this year, International Day for the Unreached is taking place on June 4th, which isn't coincidentally Pentecost Sunday. We recognize the day every year on Pentecost as the day that the Holy Spirit equipped the church to take the gospel to the nations. And so we thought that was very fitting and appropriate. One of the things we're doing this year that we're absolutely thrilled about is that on the evening of June 4th at 7 p.m. Eastern, we're having a Facebook Live event, and we're going to be doing some really cool things. So, first of all, we've got a concert by Phil Stacey, who's former American Idol and a Christian recording artist who just is passionate about reaching the lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have a keynote address by David Platt, who's probably well-known within the entire Christian community. He's the author of Radical, and he's the president of the IMB of the Southern Baptists. And David is going to be doing a keynote address, Casting Vision for the Unreached. And then everybody in the audience is going to get the opportunity to hear from each of the ministry leaders that represents the ministries that comprise the Alliance. And so this is going to be a fantastic
event. That's a big night.
Big night.
That's a big night.
Full of inspiration, education, and we hope motivation.
Yeah. Steve, let's talk, now that I have you on the line, let's talk about the challenges to reaching the people who we would consider unreached. I mean, there's going to be people, even, for example, in the Muslim community that, you know, they come to a relationship with Christ and culturally they don't even know where to begin, who to marry, what to eat. I mean, there's all kinds of customs that they don't even understand. So how do we reach the unreached? What do we do better? How do we go about this in a way that increases our odds of being more effective in the workplace or in life or on the mission field?
Well, the president of Reach Beyond, Steve Harling, said a quote that really resonates with me once. He said, "We have to quit doing missions by memory and start doing missions by imagination." When you consider that about 90% of the unreached people groups in the world live in the 1040 window, that is the geographic area that comprises North Africa and the Middle East and into Southeast Asia. And when you consider that that's the area, that really is the definition of the bulk of the unreached people in the world today. And that presents some very unique challenges where traditional ministry doesn't work. And so we're doing things like broadcasting into those areas, sharing Christ. You know, there are ministries that broadcast into those areas and broadcast the gospel. There are other ministries that are working heavily through the internet. There are organizations that are doing Bible translation. Traditional ministry is very challenging in those areas because of the resistance that's often faced. And yet we know that the hand of God is moving in those areas in ways that are absolutely stunning.
That's very powerful stuff. Steve, it's something that we all need to keep in the forefront of our minds. Who in our personal circle of influence do we know have resisted the gospel or have said something against it, so we can continue to pray to God that that there would be that liftedness of their hard-heartedness so we can have the opportunity to get in and talk to them, share Christ with them, and hopefully make disciples, because that's what our call is, to go out and make disciples. So I'm encouraged about your work. I love your spirit, and it sounds like June 4th is going to be a huge day. Is there a resource? I think we have a resource on our website at myfaithradio.com that you can go access and find out more about it. It would be, help me out here, Rebecca.
Sure. It's at the Ministry Spotlight page.
Perfect.
On myfaithradio.com. And you can see the heading there that says International Day of the Unreached. And I believe we have, it's called a Great Commission Action Guide. Is that right, Steve?
That's right. You can, if you've got it on your site, that's fantastic.
People, we do.
We encourage everybody listening to go download the free Great Commission Action Guide. There is no cost. There is no, it's not a fundraising initiative. We want people to be better equipped. And so we've made available this free resource called the Great Commission Action Guide. And in addition to that, I encourage people to go to dayfortheunreached.org, dayfortheunreached.org, and learn more about the initiative, but click on resources, and you're going to find a multitude of resources that you can download to help you advocate for the cause of the unreached, including Facebook banners, the Great Commission Action Guide, our manifesto, sermon outlines, radio spots, all kinds of things that will help you as a church or an individual or a radio station be equipped to take a stand for those who have never heard the gospel.
Thank you, Steve, and keep your eyes peeled in the mail for that coffee mug prize you won today.
Fantastic. Great to be with you.
Thanks so much. It is 27 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and be back. It is 5:30. We'll take a short break. We're going to hear the news, and then we're going to have a very lively conversation with our good friend from Ireland, Dr. David Aikman. Be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 25 minutes until the top of the hour. No matter what your work circumstances are, you can always pray and trust that God does indeed hear our prayers. Here's Dr. Bill Peel, director for the Center for Faith and Work.
There's nothing that gets in our way of prayer, including our time schedule, because prayer is something that ought to go on constantly, no matter where we are, because Christ is present there. This is one of the surprising things that I've run into regularly, is that people really don't kind of think about that God is actually in their workplace. And so we teach people to be very intentional when they walk into their workplace to stop and thank God that he's already there, that he's at work in their lives and people's lives, and he makes their work possible, and he makes their influence possible as well. And that he can make every interaction count for Jesus Christ when we do that intentionally.
If you want to find that full interview, go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and you can put in the search engine Workplace Grace, and that will take you to the interview with Dr. Bill Peel. He's the author and director of the Center for Faith and Work. Great interview with Dr. Peel. We'll take a short break and be back. It is 20 minutes until the top of the hour.
When your teen gets home from school, do you typically ask questions like, "Hey, did you finish your homework?" or "How was the test?" Chances are you're totally missing the point. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. When I was in high school, I didn't do very well with grades. In fact, I'm embarrassed to admit that I rarely cared about them at all. To most people, though, grades are important, and for good reason. They're considered a standard measure of progress and indicate how a student will perform in the future. But don't make the mistake of confusing grades with personal value. Relax a little. Let academics take a back seat and pour your attention into developing a meaningful relationship with your teen.
Mark Gregston has prepared a brand new resource to help parents draw their teens closer, not push them away. Download your free copy online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
When I became an orphan, God became my father. Welcome to Reaching Your World. This is Luis Palau. In my years as an evangelist, I've traveled all over the world talking to many people about their understanding of God. Some of the stories that stand out the most are from orphans, people who either lost a parent or were abandoned at an early age. These stories resonate with me because when I was a young boy, my dad died. I felt completely helpless. My dad was gone. My mom was sweet and a godly Christian, but she couldn't fill the role of a father. Whether you were an actual orphan, a member of the foster care system, or someone whose parents just weren't around all that much, you can understand the loneliness of a child with no biological real parent. God understands this pain too. God wants to be a father to us, an eternal father who will never leave us or abandon us. That is why in Psalm 146:9, God is referred to as Father to the fatherless. I invite you today to take a survey of your own heart. Have you truly accepted Jesus as your heavenly Lord? Have you allowed him to fill the void that you may have in your heart? Where our earthly fathers fall short, God our Father will never fail us. He will never leave us or forsake us. We are his precious children. He is our Father, and we love him. This is Luis Palau.
Luis Palau talks about the special relationship we can have with God in his CD message, God Wants to Be Your Father. Call us today. Request a free copy of the CD, God Wants to Be Your Father. Our number, 1-800-ASK-LUIS. That's 1-800-ASK-LUIS. Thanks for listening today to Reaching Your World with Luis Palau. Twenty minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here with you. Hope you're enjoying your Monday morning. The sun is shining here in the greater Twin Cities area, and I hope it's shining where you are. It's been kind of an odd spring with the cold, rainy weather, not unlike what it is in Ireland most of the time. I have on the studio line one of my very favorites of all time, Dr. David Aikman, and he's one of the smartest people I know, and I can say that because, believe me, I know a lot of dumb people. So, David, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Bill. I don't know what to make of that introduction.
That's all right.
Very kind of you.
David, I've got a joke here for you, and this was sent in by a listener, and it was a joke that I was asked to share with you the next time you're on the show. So here you are. You ready for this? I think this is this would probably fall into the kids' joke department, but here it is. What country should be the richest country in the world?
I'll give the dumb answer. I don't know.
Okay, there you go. The answer is Ireland, because its capital is Dublin every year.
Well, okay. I think the Irish would appreciate that, or at least some of them would.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. And he did. Cool. He did say it was kind of a kid's joke, and I would not disagree with that. So,
right. Okay.
How are you this morning?
Well, I'm very well, thanks. We've got a lovely sunny day today, and those come very seldom, even in summer. So it's nice to be here when the sun is shining.
Yes. Let's start off our conversation this morning talking about the president's overseas trip. You know, he leaves the U.S., and now he is over enjoying quite a bit of appreciation, I would say, over in Saudi Arabia.
Well, yes, he's moved from Saudi Arabia. Now he's in Jerusalem.
He's in Jerusalem, yeah.
And this is the most sort of potentially thorny part of his trip, because he has to try and get the Arabs and Israelis to agree on criteria for moving towards the final settlement. And I have to say, it's courageous of Trump to bite off this particular piece of meat of thorny sort of Middle East controversy. But it's an ambition that many presidents before him have tried with singular lack of success. So one just has to wonder if he can bring anything to the issue that his predecessors have omitted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there are several issues here. I think the Israelis are probably willing to do a deal with the Palestinians that would actually give the Palestinians a substantial chunk of the territory of Judea and Samaria, or what people who prefer the other phraseology would say, the West Bank. The Israelis are prepared to give a lot of that up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not clear what the Palestinians will do in terms of acknowledging that the state of Israel is a Jewish state and it's not an occupation state, and that Israeli communities that have been built in Judea and Samaria have a right to continue there. This is very, very difficult for people to solve.
Mm-hmm. David, there's so many topics I want to try to cover today, and I want to ask you about the president's flip-flopping in Asia and how that is being viewed by the Chinese.
By flip-flopping, you mean not sending an immediate Navy task force to the North Korean area, or do you mean his getting very friendly with the Chinese in order to secure better trading agreements?
I was thinking more of the trading agreements.
Okay. Well, yes. I mean, in some ways, it is a flip-flop, because during the campaign, then-candidate Trump was adamant that the Chinese had really stolen the march on U.S. trade representatives and had got built-in advantages for the Chinese economy, which had drained jobs from many parts of the United States. And Trump was going to reverse that, so he said. But in practice, what happened is that when Xi Jinping came to Mar-a-Lago, I think Trump's sort of instincts as a negotiator stepped in, or as a businessman. And he decided that he could probably do some sort of satisfactory deal with Xi, and in particular could secure the support of Xi Jinping for China to try to pressure North Korea to stop its nuclear development. Well, that remains to be seen whether that's happening. But there definitely is a much warmer side to U.S.-China relations than some people in the United States. Some observers say that they think that might have given up too much advantage diplomatically and in negotiations to the China side.
Mm-hmm. David, I'm going to take a little break. When I come back, I have several more questions. I want to start with the appointment of Robert Mueller when we return. It is 13 minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here speaking to Dr. David Aikman, a retired professor from Patrick Henry University. We'll be right back. We are back, 10 minutes until the top of the hour. I am on the studio line with Dr. David Aikman, and I always love speaking to David. David, there has been an appointment, obviously everyone knows by now, Robert Mueller has been appointed to investigate the Russia involvement with the 2016 election.
Right.
And President Trump has said many times, as I've stated, a thorough investigation will confirm what we already know, there was no collusion. So what do you think this is going to produce?
I don't think it's going to produce anything, because I don't think there is any evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russian government. I mean, I think the whole thing has been very far-fetched from the get-go. But nevertheless, the appointment of a special prosecutor, I think, was politically necessary to avoid people really ganging up on Trump and taking, you know, making other legislative steps that might have really sabotaged the presidency. So it's an annoyance for him, but I don't think he's going to be politically damaged by the appointment of Mr. Mueller.
Mm-hmm. David, this has been kind of an upsetting story I read in the Washington Post about the way Syria is building these crematoriums to handle the mass killings that's going on over there. You know, Syria is just off the rails, aren't they?
Yes. Well, Syria has been a very brutal regime ever since Hafez al-Assad, the current president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, his father, came to power in 1970. And they have never hesitated to use torture and assassination, not only against their own citizens, but in a particularly egregious case of foreign interfering against their neighboring country of Lebanon. You know, Lebanese politicians had to sleep or take refuge every night when the parliament was in session in the Intercontinental Hotel in downtown Beirut to protect them from getting blown up by Syrian manufactured car bombs.
Wow.
So Syria has a long track record of brutal interference.
It is. It's disturbing. I mean, Assad is. He's a disaster, and I don't know how we will deal with a person like him politically. How does the U.S. Continue to deal with him?
Well, it's a very difficult balancing act because even though Assad is Bashar is a very sort of ruthless character, he nevertheless pulls together a bulwark of resistance to the further expansion of Islamic State. So, to some extent, the Russians are correct that they are helping Assad to fight against the Islamic State activists. But in another way, the Russians are propping up a regime which is willing to use absolutely ruthless chemical weapons against its own people and is pursuing a very brutal policy overall. The question is, how are you going to transition from the Assad government to something different, and who's going to agree on what the differences will be? This is a big question.
Yeah, so I always, David, so appreciate your insight and your wisdom, and thank you so much for coming on the show, and we just love having you.
Bill, thank you so much for having me on.
And you are welcome. David, you are welcome to use that joke if you like.
Right, I will. I'll be careful because the Irish are a bit suspicious of corn.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you so much, David.
Have a
great week.
Bye.
All right, 5 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break and be right back. Okay, 5 minutes until the top of the hour. Happy Monday, May 22nd. You're starting your day off perfectly listening to our show. We've got a lot of great programming coming up on Faith Radio throughout the day. We've got, of course, some great Bible teaching. Who's up first after? Is it Colin Smith?
Colin Smith, Unlocking the Bible.
Yes, Colin Smith. And then I think Alistair Begg's on in the morning. Does that sound about right?
It's on in the evenings, actually.
In the evening, of course. But and then Connecting Faith at noon. And we've got Susie Larson in the afternoon from 3 to 5. And so we've got a lot of great things going on. I found an interesting article that Clint Eastwood is saying, and he is 86 years old. He's saying that most Dirty Harry could not be produced today in the political correctness. And he says that, gosh, we've lost our sense of humor. We can't do anything tongue-in-cheek anymore, and everything is so politically correct that we are walking on eggshells all the time. So that makes it for an interesting, which is true, and across college campuses today, there are a lot of comedians that no longer want to go just because it's gotten way too sensitive.
That's very true. In fact, I think if you even reenact a scene from Dirty Harry with your finger as the gun, I think you're guilty of some crimes or something.
You're in trouble. But it has gotten to be a lot of very difficult to tell jokes nowadays.
I imagine so.
People are very sensitive, and they always think they're looking for that little moment where they're going to attack and jump on you, and we're not laughing at ourselves as much as we should. We're taking ourselves way too seriously.
Right. And those verses about not taking offense or not being quick to offense, I think, come in all the more clearly these days. That makes us different. That sets us apart from a culture that just has a lot of chips on their shoulders.
It does. And God gives us this great capacity to release tension through laughter. And it's one of those things that I'm such a big fan of, that we need to always be seeking out opportunities to laugh throughout the day and find places where we can have fun and enjoy, because I think life is hard. It's stressful out there, and laughter is one of those great things that God's given us that we can just enjoy. And you know, you never want to make fun of anybody, and I certainly don't want to ever do that myself. And I think one of my mottos is never make fun of sin, because God doesn't find sin funny, and neither do I. So I always want to be very careful about that as well. So, but do enjoy the day. Do go out and have some fun. And remember to laugh. Remember to smile. Remember, just show your face to the world. Because as followers of Christ, we want to be people that are joyful.
Rejoice and be glad.
Because we know how the story ends. And guess what? We win. Have a great day, everyone. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this Faith Radio Mornings podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Faith Radio Mornings, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or on your podcast player. And thanks for sharing the audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Faith Radio Mornings.